If you have your Bibles, let's open them just for a moment to the book of John, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 14. John, chapter number 14. And here we go. I've been waiting all week to preach this message. Some messages I'm real excited about, others I'm not. But I guarantee you, you will enjoy this. I can just tell you in advance. If you don't, you got holes in your head. And encouraging. So notice Jesus is at the Last Supper. He's in the upper room. He has told the disciples the sad news. He's going to die, be buried, and rise again. And he will no longer be with them. So notice these words he says, John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm going to pray, and if you don't have your cell phone on vibrate or off right now, if you'd be so kind to do that. I don't want anybody looking at your phones. I'm not looking at mine. I want you looking to the Lord during this service. Let's honor him. A lot of preparation, songs, practices. Let's not be a disturbance. There's an emergency, you're welcome to get up. And then ushers, they'll have to stay in the back. We can't just be walking around. And this is too important. It's not a movie theater. It's not a TV show. This is church. I want to speak on this subject this morning. There is a heaven. There is a heaven. Father, bless now the brief time I talk about my future home and the future home of so many here. May it encourage and touch our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Teenagers, there is a heaven. Single parent, there is a heaven. Elderly, there is a heaven. Cancer survivor, there is a heaven. Many books, stories, movies have all been produced about it. It is not dreamed up by pastors to comfort people and tickle ears. The one who beat death spoke most about this subject more than any other. It's the greatest motivation to become a Christian. It's the greatest motivation to serve the Lord and to keep going. A little boy was reading a Western book, and his mother said, "Son, it's time to eat supper." And he said, "Wait a minute, Mama." He said, "The bad guy just tied the beautiful girl to the railroad track and the train is coming." She said, "Get in here right now and eat supper." He said, "I can't. She's about to get run over." A few minutes later, he walked in, sat down to supper. His mother said, "What finally convinced you to come to supper?" He said, "Well, I skipped to the last chapter and I found out the hero came and rescued the beautiful girl." Hey, guess what? We've got a lot of bad news from Genesis to Revelation, but I skipped all the way to the last chapter, and I found out we win. Amen. And we get rescued. There is a place called heaven. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, God has put eternity in their heart. He has placed a desire in every human to want to live forever. Every culture has that belief. That there is some place after here. Heard about the little boy, old story, I tell it at a lot of funerals. He was flying a kite on a cloudy day, and all you could see was the string going up into the clouds. An old man came by and he said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "Sir, I'm flying a kite." And he looked up and said, "I don't see any kite. How do you know it's there?" The little boy said, "Mister, I feel a tug." And inside of every human, God has put a tug. There's something inside that says, "I know this is not all there is. You say, well, I don't believe in all that pie in the sky, Pastor. I don't believe in all that heaven. But don't you wish you did? The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, I believe it is, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither is entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. What's that mean? In your wildest imagination, the wildest thoughts you can ever have, you can never touch the garment of how beautiful heaven must be. You combine all your I love yous in life, and then you add them to your first cruise and the biggest fish you ever caught, and when you got engaged and the birth of a child, in every wow moment, in the breathtaking moments, first time you ever went to Disneyland, and add that to every Christmas Eve you ever had, every fireworks display, every gift, your salvation day, the mountaintops, they will not equal the first moment in heaven. Well, who's designing this place, Pastor? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. The one that painted the rainbow and put the feathers on the peacock and designed the beautiful fish below the salt water. He's the one that's working on heaven. He caused the geese to fly south for the winter and the salmon to swim upstream and the lightning to flash and the snow to fall and the hummingbirds to hum and the bees to make honey. He's the one that makes the seasons change and the sky that's blue and every beautiful sunset in its own way. He's the one that has made billions of faces, everyone beautiful in their own way, and none of them look the same. That's him. He made the Alps and the beaches in Florida and the canals of Venice and the Rocky Mountains and the Yellowstone and Hawaii and the changing of the leaves on the East Coast. That's who's designing heaven. According to the book of Revelation, just the bottom floor of heaven will cover 2 million square miles. And according to scripture, it looks like heaven will be 600, if it's 12-foot stories, you know, some of you are tall, you need 12-foot ceilings. If there were 12-foot ceilings, heaven would have 600,000 stories. What a city. We see two doors here today. I want to speak on this subject. You let him in, and he'll let you in. There's a picture. It's a famous picture by Holman Hunt. Many of you have seen it. Jesus knocking at the door. And it's supposed to represent the Savior knocking at everyone's heart. He wants to come in and clean us up. He wants to come in, forgive our sins. He wants to come in, live with us so we're never lonely. He wants to come in and help us live our life. Jesus on the outside doesn't help at all. Just believing in him is not enough to get you to heaven. We have to let him in. And so this little boy went to the museum and saw that picture. And he said, Daddy, what's the picture? He said, Son, it's Jesus. He wants to come inside everyone's heart. And he's knocking. He's locked outside. He wants to come in. And the little boy looked closely. You'll see it on the painting. There's no doorknob. No doorknob. And the little boy said, just like this door, Daddy, there's no doorknob. How can he get in? And Jesus said, the doorknob's on the inside, son. You have to let him in. And the little boy got quiet all the way home. Didn't speak a word in the car. They pulled into the driveway. And finally the little boy blurted out, Daddy, did he ever get in? And the dad said, Son, you tell me. Did he ever get in? I can't get him into you. You can't get him into me. It's all personal doors. And he'll knock. Sometimes he knocks softly through nature. You go outside, see the beautiful place we live, and say, wow, who made that? That's God knocking. Amen. Sometimes you'll go through problems and heartache and difficulty. He knocks louder. Sometimes we still don't let him in, so he has to. And every one of us, perhaps here today, if you're not a Christian, he's been knocking for a while. When you gonna let him in? You say, well, how do you do it, Pastor? Realize you're a sinner. Realize you cannot save yourself. Nothing you can do to earn heaven. Realize what he did on the cross was sufficient payment. He paid for your sins and the whole world. When he rose again, he proved it was true. And then by faith, you must invite him in. It's not that hard. Folks, Jesus said, I'm the door. He says, just open the door. A child can do that. A teenager can do that. An old person can do that. A married, a single, anybody can open the door. When did you do that? For me, it was February 23rd, 1970, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. 7 o'clock Monday morning, no vision, no lights, no angels. That's when I knelt down by my couch. I finally understood it. Someone explained how to get saved. I opened the door. I asked him in. When I got off my knees, I knew he had come in. No one moves in your house and you don't know it. Hey, Margaret, who's that new person living with us? I don't know. Hey, you know if someone is new in your house. And then I want to say this. Second part of the message is this. You let him in, and he'll let you in. Into where? Into heaven. In fact, that's an actual snapshot. That's not just an artist's rendition. I took that yesterday when I was up there. No, I'm just kidding. You let him in, he'll let you in. You know, it's hard to describe heaven because none of us have ever been there. I can tell you what Rome looks like and Israel looks like. I can tell you all about Louisiana and many of the states I've been to. It's hard for me as a pastor. I've never been there. I've read about it. I've heard about it in the Bible. But God does give us comparisons. What does he do? He compares it to a garden. You remember the first garden, Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden? In the book of Revelation, in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about heaven being Eden. Some of you, you've lived in places that were nothing but chaos. Chaos, no love, hate, violence. Some of you, maybe right now, you've got triplets. We had twins. We heard crying for 6 months. There was no peace at our house. But God compares heaven to a garden. Some of you say, can I go in now? Man, I need some rest. That's all I need. Then he also compares it to a banquet or a feast. Or you could say he compares it to a party. One of the lies that Satan has told us is this. Heaven's boring. Hell's where it's at. I want to be in hell with all my friends, eternal party, live it up. Heaven's where the party is.
Amen.
You've never seen a party till you go to heaven.
Amen.
Wonder what it's going to be like our first moment in heaven. Somehow, some of you have been duped to believe the lie. Well, heaven's just going to be an eternal church service. Sit up, amen. Sing another song. It isn't an eternal church service. God compares it to running a race where we're running, and the Bible says people up in heaven will see, they actually see some of our lives right now. It says we're surrounded by a heavenly host of witnesses. They are cheering for us. We've got church members, grandparents. I got a daddy up there. I got tons of friends. Brother Cavanaugh just went there. We got people in our church or used to attend the last month. Four of our people used to sit here for years. They're already up there. And guess what they're doing? Watching. Hey, they're in church today. Hey, they're doing good. Hey, a teenager's in church. Look at that. Wow. They're seeing some of it. Going to be a lot of singing up in heaven. You think the choir did good today. You think the special quartet did good today. You've never heard greater than Mozart, Beethoven, greater than whatever rock band you like, or country singer you like, or rapper you like. You put it all together, not a drop in the bucket compared to what heaven's going to be like. Maybe it'll sound a little bit like... Maybe the music this time. It's me, buddy. And the music isn't going to be about you and me. It's going to be about him. 100 million angels in the choir. That's a pretty good sized choir. 100 million. It's going to be quite a place. His name won't be cursed. His name won't be a part of a cuss word. Three times in heaven he's called holy, holy, holy. It'll be a place of no sin. And how about this? And our new bodies we'll get, we won't be able to sin if we wanted to. You say, I hope I don't go to heaven. I'll mess up. They'll kick me out. No, you have an unsinnable body. That's not even a word. It'll be holy. We did work on this. Turn those lights on, would you please? Let me give you the message. Pastor's too nutty for me. Too nutty. You let him in, he'll let you in one day. What a small little decision this looks like. A little 7-year-old child giving his heart to Christ. Then as a 95-year-old elderly person, one day he gets to go to heaven. It just doesn't quite compare. All can go. Most won't. There's room in heaven for all. You got to want to go, and you got to want to know. What's it take to get there? God took 6 days to build this beautiful earth. He's been working on heaven 2,000 years. How beautiful heaven must be. Quickly, let me give you some points to the message. What's there? The Bible says there's plenty of arrivals. There's joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that repenteth. The Bible says when Lazarus died, the angels carried him to heaven. So in heaven, it'll be, look who just came. Look who just came. Another arrival. Another arrival. Hey, someone's coming. Hey, look, a young child. Look, an elderly person. Look, a young couple. Look, a whole group of people. Hey, look, it's going to be constant arrivals. When my wife was hospitalized with her gallbladder issue, 80 days in the hospital, we were at a hospital that played over the intercom system every time someone had a baby at the hospital. So you'd walk through the hall. Da, 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 da. Oh, another baby's born. There'll be maybe some music playing every time a new person arrives in heaven. What's in heaven? There's a tree of life to satisfy every appetite. Here on earth, we have a lot of appetites, good and bad. In heaven, there'll be no appetite that is not fulfilled. What's in heaven? There's a river to refresh. What's in heaven? Lots of music. We'll know how to play instruments. Bible says we'll have a harp in our hand. Lots of plants. If you're an outdoors person, it says there'll be the tree of life. There will be trees there. A few animal people. How many of you hope your pet goes to heaven? Slip your hand up. No goldfish. No goldfish. Cat, you want cats in heaven? You want your cat. Dog lovers here. Horse lovers. Well, Scripture says there will be animals. The Bible says one day we'll come back on white horses. There's horses there. There'll be no unfulfilled appetite. Little kid goes to heaven. I want a cat. God won't let me have a cat. If you get to heaven and want a cat, he'll be there. But not near me. Okay. There'll be pearls there. The gates are made out of precious stone, the only stone that causes pain, the pearls. Wonder why God chose pearls as the gates? Perhaps while we walk through the gates, he says, check all pain here. It doesn't enter into the city of heaven. No pain there. What's in heaven, Pastor? There's a throne. God will be sitting on the throne. The only place in history where there's perfect justice. Some of you have not got justice. You didn't get a fair shake at life. Someone was unfair and dishonest to you, and they've never paid for it. God says, heaven, perfect justice. He'll reward every deed that needs to be rewarded. There'll be food in heaven. Most men wouldn't want to get saved if there wasn't food in heaven. The Bible says there's angels' food. There's fruit on the trees. I don't know about the meat. I think the fruit probably tastes like meat. I don't know. There's robes in heaven. The Bible says we'll all be clothed in white. What's that mean? Clothing won't be the big deal. It won't be the big issue. Now, I'm hoping we men don't have to wear robes. I'd hate to be in a dress for all eternity. I mean, I just can't see Brother Schulte wearing a dress for millions and millions of years. What a thought. What else? There'll be lots of people there who were poor. The Bible says the poor are rich in faith. There'll be a lot of people that had nothing down here. And when they get to heaven, they're going to have everything up there. There'll be a welcoming committee up there. You won't walk through the gates of heaven and say, where do I go next? I don't know what to do. Everybody you know, who knows you, who ever knew you, who your life ever touched and helped, they'll all be at the gate of heaven. When you walk through the doors, welcome home. And they'll escort you around and introduce you around. Not only that, but it'll all be new to all of us. The Bible says it'll be as the days of heaven. There's no night there. You know what that means? Everyone who's gone to heaven is still on their first day. You ever thought about that? Hey, Moses, how long you been here? Show me around. Well, it's just my first day, man. I just got here. What? He's been there thousands of years, but there's no night there. They're all on their same day. They'll be singing. They'll be teaching. We'll be learning. We won't know everything. There'll be books up in heaven. The Bible says there'll be the Bible in heaven. There'll be the book of life in heaven that has the names written down of everyone who got saved. By the way, it's all in permanent marker. Once you get saved, God writes your name in that book. When you die, he opens that book. The name's written down. Open the door and let you in. What else is there? A book of remembrance. In the book of Malachi, God says he's writing a book of remembrance. A book where every time you did something for him, he writes it down. Every time. I mean, whatever you gave, you prayed, you forgave, you helped, you served. Whatever you did for him that no one ever saw, he got it all written down. And you're going to be rewarded for that. The books, not only that, we'll have brand new bodies up there. God says he's preparing them. 1 Corinthians 15. And you say, but pastor, who will we be in heaven? You ready? Time out. You. Because if you're not you, you didn't go to heaven. You won't have any negative traits. You won't have that scar. I won't have the scar from the bicycle and the scar from the coffee table and the scar from the weightlifting. Won't have that. You'll look like you, but you'll be the new, improved, young version. Some of you say, I don't like that. Okay. Not only that, we'll have crowns. Those who have served the Lord will have a crown to give back to the Lord. There'll be bottles up in heaven. Won't be bottle rock, but there'll be bottles. What will be in the bottle? The Bible says tears. Our tears. God cares so much about us. When we have a broken heart, God says, I'm counting every tear you've ever shed. And you're going to be remembered and rewarded for that. Some people have a tougher life than others. Some just go through a hideous pain. And God says, just want you to know, I'm watching every tear. And I'm going to remember it when you get to heaven. Not only that, but Jesus will be there. The one who made you for himself. God made you for him, a person, and he made you for a place, heaven. You'll see him. The one that knows you better than anybody. The one that saw everything in your life. The one that died for you. Even if you were the only sinner on the planet, you'll see him face to face. Fanny Crosby was a blind songwriter. And they said, Fanny, how will you know Jesus? She said, I'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. I'll know him. Pastor, quickly, what won't be there? Won't be tears, pain, crying, chaos, riots, won't be looting, lying, abuse, stealing, marriage problems, won't be crime, starvation, disease, addiction, broken homes, rejection, hopelessness, won't be mental illness, won't be surgery, won't be hospitals or cemeteries, won't be elections, thank God, won't be war, gangs, violence, power outages, hurricanes, won't be earthquakes and tornadoes, won't be strokes and cancer and old age and disease. Won't have hospice or graffiti. Won't be AIDS or leukemia or diabetes or dialysis. Won't be any cussing. Won't be any diets. Won't be any debt. Won't be any worry. There will not be addiction. There will not be a past. There will not be bullies. There will not be a blindness or sorrow. Here's words you'll never hear in heaven. I'm sorry. Here's words you'll never hear in heaven. I have sinned. Goodbye. I was wrong. All those things erased. Now, several things I'm not sure of up in heaven. Quickly, I'm not sure who's going to live next door to you. How many of you right now say, well, there's someone for sure. I don't want. Anyway, it won't be any of that. I don't think it'll matter who's living next door to you. I don't know what the mansions are for. Well, Pastor, we got a mansion in heaven. For what? I don't understand. Some of you are going to say, I'm just going to go inside and lock the door and hope no one bothers me. That's you. I mean, that's your personality. Why are you going to be inside a building when billions of people are walking down the street? I don't know. I don't know what language we'll speak. Some of you say, it's Spanish, Pastor. I know it's Spanish. It's Tagalog. It's Cebuano. I don't know. I don't know what language we'll speak. I don't know if we'll understand everyone's language or have to learn it. I don't know. I don't know how fast our kids will grow up. When children go to heaven, personally, I think they stay at that age until their loved ones all get to heaven. Then they get to see them grow up to maturity. That's just my thought. I don't know for sure on that one. I don't know what height will be. I've always told people, if you're tall down here, you'll be short for all eternity. If you're short down here like me, tall for all eternity. And then you'll know how it feels. I don't know what the treasures are for. God says you'll have treasures laid up in heaven. I don't know what they're for. Is it spending money? Is it like in jail? Someone's putting money on your books and you get there. Man, you got a lot of spending money and some people are broke. I don't know what the treasures are for. I don't know about the neighborhood. I personally believe you'll be in the neighborhood of people you loved. It'll be your family, your church family, your loved ones, your friends. I think they'll all live in your neighborhood. This is a tough one. Women, I don't know if you'll have your original hair color or not. I know that's a big one right there. Heard about this lady, and she was in her mid-30s, and she up and died. And she had some health issues, and God brought her to heaven, and he said, well, there you go. She goes, oh, Lord, I had so much more to do. Oh, I can't believe you took me to heaven. He said, okay, I feel bad about it. He said, all right, I'll give you 15 more years. He sent her back to earth. About that time, man, she was feeling good. She dyed her hair. She lost some weight, had a tummy tuck, had a few surgeries, had this and that, got her nails done, working out at the gym. And the next year, boom, died. She came to heaven. She said, I thought I had 15 more years. God says, oh, was that you? Anyway, you'll get that later. I don't know what shade of skin we're going to have up in heaven. I don't know. I don't know if we'll see the Bible stories. I hope we don't just hear them from the people in the Bible. I hope we can hit a button and see them the way they were. I think we're going to be shocked at who's famous. There's going to be maybe some rock stars, maybe some movie stars up in heaven who never served God. And they're not going to be well known. They were well known here, unknown up there. But there's going to be some people, someone's going to say, who is that that just walked down the street? Oh, that was a Sunday school teacher. They taught a little kids class for 30 years. Look how famous they are up in heaven. Who's that? Oh, that's one of the church bus drivers. He drove a bus for 25 years. He's somebody up here. The heroes are going to switch around. I think we'll know who influenced us and who we influenced in heaven. Maybe there'll be someone from the country of Hungary come up. You'll say, where are you from, Hungary? And you'll say, do you know Zsolt? Zsolt preached and we got saved. Well, we sent him to you. Well, no. We'll know every missions dollar. Heard about this guy. He went to heaven. He started walking through the pearly gates, and St. Peter said, all right, before we let you in, I have to hear of one good deed you did. The fellow thought for a moment. He said, okay. He said, one time I saw this teenage girl surrounded by this gang, and they had their Harley Davidsons chains around their neck. Weed was everywhere, and they were scaring her. She was crying. He said, I pulled up to the group, and I said, who's in charge? I came up to the gang member's leader's face. I took the chain off his face and slapped him in the face and said, leave her alone. And St. Peter said, wow, man, that's good. He said, when did you do that? He said, about 2 minutes ago. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, this was his last words. Earth recedes, heaven opens before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley. God is calling me. I must go. 1952, Florence Chadwick. She was a swimmer, professional swimmer, was swimming from Catalina Island through the fog to the coast of California. She swam and swam and swam for hours and couldn't see. And finally, she said, just take me out of the water. I quit. I'm done with this race. I can't do it. When they took her out, the fog broke. She was half a mile from the shore. She said this, I think if I could have seen the shore, I could have finished the race. And every once in a while, we need to talk about our heavenly home to just let you see the shore. See the shore. You can finish your race. You can raise those kids. You can keep that marriage together. You can be clean. You can be faithful in church. Yes, you can serve the Lord. The shore is pretty close. It's pretty close. Two missionaries were on a ship sailing back from Africa. They had not had fruitful ministries. They were pretty discouraged. As they're getting close to the dock in the distance, they could see a band there playing music. Thousands of people. One of the missionaries looked to his partner and he said, look, they didn't forget us. Look, they're here to welcome us. As they got closer, they noticed the eyes of the welcomees were not looking at the missionaries. They were looking up to the top deck where they saw President Roosevelt. He was on the ship coming back from an African safari. The crowd was gathered to welcome him home. Wisely, the other missionary looked and he said, we're not home yet. We're not home yet. And let me just tell you this. This world is not your home. We have a tight grip on all the stuff we have, but we're leaving it all behind. It's all going to the dump. It's all going to burn one day. You can't take any of this with you. We're not home yet. Pastor, when are you going to be done with the message? When you start paying attention, we will wind down. It was old Charles Weigel, the one that was an evangelist. He wrote the song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. He was in his late 90s, living in the dormitory at a Bible college in Tennessee. Someone came to check on him, and they heard some noise in his little dormitory room. It sounded like some furniture moving. And they heard in a high-pitched old man's voice, whoopee, hallelujah, amen, glory to God. And he said, Dr. Weigel, are you okay in there? He said, open the door, son. He opened the door, and there was Charles Weigel in his 90s, trying the best he could to jump up and down on his bed. He had his hands raised, jumping up and down. Whoopee, hallelujah. He said, what are you doing, Dr. Weigel? He said, I'm just practicing for heaven, son. I'm just practicing for heaven. Amen. Are you going? You ever think about it? You ever talk about it? You going to bring anybody with you? in the slave days in the Deep South, this master that owned many, many slaves died. They were planning the funeral, and the pastor had talked about how that the slave owner, the master, went to heaven. One of the slaves came up after the funeral and said, "I disagree, Pastor." He said, "My master did not go to heaven." He said, "Well, how can you be so sure?" He said, "Anytime my master took a trip, he talked about it for weeks and months and planned and talked about it and planned. He said, I never heard him talk about heaven. So I know he didn't go." You ever talk about heaven, your eternal home? Anyone ever ask for your address and you just slip and say, which one? The one down here or the one up there? You know, your citizenship. Where's your citizenship? You mean American citizenship or my heavenly citizenship? Well, who's your leader? You mean my leader down here or my... Okay, I could be all day on that. I must hasten. I'll end with this little comparison. Just a little thought. Pastor, you're over time. I'll give it back to you tonight. But we aren't coming. Well, okay. So, this thing about death, here's how we kind of think it is. We die here. And there's two ways to heaven. There's the rapture. If the trumpet sounds, we're going straight up. We skip death, all the Christians, or by death. We don't know when our death will be. I'm hoping the rapture comes before I die. I believe it will. But here's what we think. We think when we die, it's kind of like we're escorted into heaven and we're missing the party. No, they're missing the party. So here's the story. This man was at this party. Food was great. A lot of good friends. Had a good time. But his ride says, we got to leave. He was down a little bit because he had to leave the party early. He felt a little sad. So when he got home, he reached for the door and he kind of sensed someone was there. And when they opened the door, he heard, surprise! And he smelled his favorite food, his favorite music. He saw everyone he cared about. The party was for him. He wasn't missing anything. And then he saw everyone from the other party starting to show up with a big grin on their face. That's how it's going to be, folks.
Amen.
Missing the party. No, you're not. You're just going into the party. They've been waiting on you. And that's what you're going to hear one day. And it'll be your Savior meeting you at that gate. And you're going to be so glad. So glad. If you're here today and you don't know Him, He loves you, died for you. He's done everything He can to get you up to heaven. But like we said earlier, you've got to open the door. It's not that hard. You'll open it, and He'll come in, and you'll be glad one day. Heavenly Father, we ask Your blessings upon this time.